It's 8:45. We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. If you'll all rise, we're going to do that.
Make up our mind to do it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. Consent agenda is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held April 6th. Approve all claims for April 20th in the amount of $643,805.31.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, you said 643?
Correct. 805,031. I have the updated...
Okay.
The one right. From the clerk that she handed
this wasn't
me when
matching
change,
mine, so I wanted to be sure that we
yes,
had that.
Yes. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve letter of support to the Nebraska Weed Advisory Committee for Sarah Lespedesis to become the next state noxious weed. Approve permit number 877 for Norris Public Power District to construct an electric utility line at North 29 Sicily Township. Yeah, Denny, the clerk sometimes gives me an updated to-the-minute
right.
Expense report.
Details.
So, details.
I would move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank
you. Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, you're up.
All right, we didn't schedule a planning meeting this month because there was no special use issues. We did put the new rates into effect as soon as you passed them, so they're going. And on the agenda for today, we have approve or disapprove a resolution to authorize the chairman to sign a task order agreement for construction engineering services between Gage County and Manelli Wagner and Associates Incorporated, and that's for the Beatrice North project.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution 1119.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next one is approve or disapprove resolution for the vacating of the road described as portion of the South 134 Road between Ethanol Road and Railroad Tracks. In the northeast of the northeast section 20, and then the rest being in Adams West 30, or the same section as south east quarter, the northeast quarter, west 33 feet of the section line between the north and south side of the railroad tracks. Anyway, there's a legal description with the resolution that the surveyors came up with. It's quite lengthy. And then also a part of the easement that was purchased from the landowner there that we are vacating also.
Okay.
11-20.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next.
Dorn and Juergens.
Is this, I guess, question on that one was about the township has supported that if the board supported it, and is the waiting period waived then, or is
there's a I put on file at the last meeting the resolution from the Adams Township that waived the 120-day period, and I would ask that be included as an exhibit in this meeting.
So
I think we had that in last.
Yeah, we had it.
I just want to make sure it's a record. Okay.
So what that means is you close that road effectively today.
Yep.
So get your crews up there, and it's a done deal. Yeah. So it's an officially closed road as of now.
All right. The next one is approved or disapproved resolution on the closure of railroad crossing number DOT 083.
I said that wrong. It is not a closed road. It is a vacated road. So, sorry, Marlon. Go ahead.
DOT 083281P, and that's on South 134 Road, south of East Aspen, also in the northeast quarter, Section 20 of Adams. And there's an right in the resolution, there's the amounts that they will reimburse us for closing that, which is a lot less than the amount it cost the ethanol plant to build it. But
okay. Resolution 11-21.
Make a motion.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks. The next one is approve or disapprove signs for the highway department vehicles. And in your packet, I got two prices. There's one on an email that's for a 10 by 22 sign. And they're like $8 a piece if you order 20 or more. And the other one for $5 a sign is this size. It wouldn't be red lettering. It would be black lettering on the bottom for the phone number. I think that was one of the ones. And the one that's you've probably seen in my pickup is like 12 inches. These are 16 and a half, I think. So.
Is that your cell phone number, Seven?
No.
Is that big enough for everybody? That's the point. Will that be large enough on the vehicles, or do you want to go a little bit bigger?
Does it have the dots rather than the dashes in the phone number?
We can put the dashes in there.
I think that's kind of normal.
So, comfortable? I mean, that's on the side of the...
Motion to approve or disapprove, then?
This, you know, we put on the doors. We get white and black ones, put white ones on the dark vehicles and black ones on the light vehicles, so.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I think that having the phone number on there is a good thing because... There are a lot of positive comments for the work that the employees in the highway department do, and most specifically regarding the grading work that they've done around here. I think they've done a fabulous job. I think people are starting to see some of that stuff move forward. And if they say, hey, who is that working out there? They can see, oh, it's a county people. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point. It shows they can do a finish job very well because the grading does look good.
Would there be any benefit to put, like, truck number, or is there a truck number? Because... You know, you see these trucks going down the road. You know, if you like what I'm doing, call this number. Or if you don't like what I'm doing, call this number.
You probably wouldn't have room on this sign.
Well, no, but, yeah. I mean, even like on a back, put okay. A truck number, I mean.
Yeah, we have vehicle numbers on a lot of them. And then we can do that, a separate number on the side of the box or something. So is this the size we're looking at, the $5 size? Or
we'll know in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Any more discussion?
What did you make the motion for? He had two signs, size signs, or whatever.
Well, this one right here.
Okay.
This one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What size is that? That's
7 by 16.
Yeah.
Any more discussion? Vote. Looks like that's the one, Marlon.
Okay. Going on down through my report, I'm off now.
Yep.
Okay, and I just kept this in here as a reminder, probably for the Finance Committee on that MIPS program. the sooner we can figure out whether we want to do it or not, the sooner we can get it set up for the next budget year. It takes a couple, 3 weeks to get all the software in stuff. So, then the budget update after this week's claims, and this is estimated, looks like we're going to be right on the, with 84.6% of the year, 84.52% of the budget used. Then on the NEMA storms, we'd had another audit last week on the, this is a storm from 2007. This was the DeWitt storm. So we've been through two audits. We got two more left from last year yet to audit. So there's still probably, I think on the FEMA, on the 1706, there's around $100,000 coming to the county yet for that one. And then on the other one, the big one for last, the thaw, there's the state share coming on that yet, which is 12.5% of 270-some thousand, I think, was the total on that one. So I think we've got all the FEMA, federal money on that one. So then going on down the East 27 Island Grove, the bridge that had the traffic damage to it, the repairs should get done today. We should be I've got a call in to engineer. As soon as I get a call from the construction company, that we're going to have to go re-inspect that bridge. They call it a damage inspection. It's not a total inspection, but we have to inspect all the parts and make sure everything's square.
That will be reopened today then?
It depends on when the engineer can get back, when they can get down there, because by this NDOR rules, they have to, it has to be checked by an engineer once it's done. So then moving on to the Beatrice North project, we got a notice to proceed with construction engineering. That's that task order you signed this morning. We will tentatively set in a pre-con for clearing and grubbing on May 5th or 6th, and tentative start date from Werner Construction is June 6th on that. So that's, it's looking better than at first they were talking August. So then on the in Wymore 1, we have a face-to-face Monday with the NDOR, State Historical Society, Game and Parks, Corps of Engineers, Federal Highway, trying to get the NEPA document approved on that one. And the Philly North, we're in the middle of some mitigation for wetlands in there. I guess there's some in that corner. So the Barnston South one, there's approximately 14 working days left there. They've had one or two pieces of equipment down there. They moved one out, said it was broke down. That was yesterday. I haven't been down there today yet, but we'll head down there.
And what's their progress? Where are they at?
Well, they've got the shoe fly out. They've got a ramp built so you can get over the new bridge. Needs a lot of dirt hauled in. They got a borrow pit about half a mile south of there. So once they get on, it shouldn't take too long, but we're keeping after them. So, and the rest of it on the bridge crews, we're the foreman's out on that. He had an operation, so the other guys are doing maintenance work, repairing bridge decks. Finished the Zion Church seating. We didn't get that all seated last fall. Asphalt crew's still sealing cracks. We got a couple weeks left on that. We need to get that done so we can get some hot mix patching done. There's some crucial areas there that need a little of that. Dirt crew, they, of course, you talked about the job around here. They did that. It took them a couple days to get all that out of there. Otherwise, they're starting to do projects. So,
which crew is going to pour the new sidewalks up here?
I don't know. I was talking to the surveyor. Also, I guess we need some plans or something better than what we've got. and that'd help us. I don't know where we get them plans.
Danny, Building and Grounds, have any idea on that?
I think Jonesy was working with WIM on that, on what the sidewalk's supposed to look at and where they were supposed to be. So I thought there was, I thought we had.
Because that's probably becoming time critical.
What's that?
Time critical with the seating and everything.
Jonesy was, and the surveyor were in charge of doing that, so.
Okay. What else, Marlon?
I think that's about all I have.
Okay, Marlon, there's a couple things that I want to ask about.
Okay.
It's been brought to our attention on the 4 10-hour days. The asphalt crew can't do as much asphalt as if they can only do two deliveries, and then they set idle for a couple hours because of just the nature of the beast of hauling from Lincoln or wherever the asphalt comes. I want to discuss pro and con of should they be on 10-hour days? Shouldn't they be?
Yeah, they could make more trips to Lincoln. Same with Holland Rock. You can make more trips to Weeping Water if that's what we're doing.
Why are we going to Weeping Water?
We're not yet. I mean, we're right now the rock quarry out here is mostly out. I've got a sample of the Barnston quarry. I'm going to take the HWS and get a sample run.
You have not done that yet?
No, I haven't had time to get to Lincoln. So. Yeah, I mean, the 410s works better.
So where are you hauling rock now?
We're just spotting on township whenever they have a request.
Where are you getting it, though?
Either out of the stockpile or out of sites.
So. Is sites the lowest bidder?
Yeah. Well, Barnston on the south end make more sense, but we're going to get that tested first.
Okay, so what's your stance on the asphalt?
I guess if they go to 410s, we'd have to have mechanics on 410s because of the...
From a business sense, does it make more sense to have them on 410s over the construction period?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Then why didn't you address that with us earlier when we talked about the 8 to 5 hours and 7 to 3:30?
Is if the mechanics, they're pretty. It's a high maintenance thing on that asphalt equipment, so you about got to have one mechanic available for them all the time. There's always little issues with either the tack truck or the laydown machine.
Something breaks down virtually every day?
I wouldn't say every day, but pretty often.
But if
it's just a high maintenance piece of equipment. I mean, they're.
If you go to 410s, Marlon, right away in the morning, or why couldn't they fix it on the evening before? From 3:30 to 5, have the mechanics take care of it. I mean, they're going to be there all 5 days of the week anyway. Wouldn't it work all right for them to have everything ready for them to go right away in the morning? And I don't think that'd be a real big issue. I think the mechanics could still be on 8.5s. I mean, tell me that I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not going to say you're wrong. It's just when the equipment's out in the on a road somewhere, you know, I don't know if mechanic, you know, if there's just him around there to, you know, I guess it worked good when everybody was on 410s, but.
Then why didn't you tell us that? You did not. You told us that 7 to 3:30, the 8 hours worked fine over the construction season.
Yeah, the issue is trying to...
Our point was the office was going to be open 8 to 5. Your point was if the office had to be open 8 to 5, then the construction people should work 5 days a week also.
Well, it was basically with the mechanics and with everybody else. If you wanted them to work 5 days, then you'd have scheduling differences there, and there'd only be a lot of times one mechanic there to... And if he gets called out on the asphalt machine, you know, there's just reasons. That was the main reason. I mean, the office don't really have anything to do with that. But.
That was our point earlier, too. Well, I guess it's the board's decision. It's not mine on what we do.
Mr. Chairman, my contention all along was that it was a public office. The office needed to be open 5 days a week. If it makes sense for the construction folks to do their job 4 days a week, and that's the feedback I've been getting, is that the 410s work for construction, then that, to me, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
It's a public office. People should be able to go in and out of there, and the administrative staff can work 5 days a week, but if the mechanic needs to work 410, I mean, if that's what works, that's what we should be doing. I mean, that was my contention was that the public office, but if it makes sense for those folks to work 10 hours a day to get the job done because of the logistics of going back and forth, they'd be 10 hours. My thoughts. But one more question here about why did, if the quality of the rock from the Barnston quarries in question, why were they even allowed to submit a claim? If that's the lowest bid, we should submit a bid. When we accepted those, shouldn't that have already met the requirements? Yeah. And so why aren't we hauling from them if they're cheaper? I mean, it goes back to the low bid as long as they don't have rock available.
Well, I don't know if he, like his bid, he was tied to one subcontractor only for coming in there. So I don't know if he, what the deal was on that. But
you know, I just look at just the bid sheet here, the spreadsheet here. RL Team and hauling from Barnston Quarry is about $1 a cheaper. So I didn't, you know, especially to the southern,
right,
the southern ones, and then it looks like sites make sense to go to the northern townships. But just looking at that, I didn't know what was the whole about. Why did we accept their bid if they didn't? If you know, we say we're going to take some up there and test it, should we not have accepted their bid if they shouldn't even have been allowed to submit it if it didn't qualify? But I was understanding it met the standards. That's a question. Point. I don't know. I question.
No, we don't require them to bring in test results with their bid. We've never done that. So
I agree with you, Matt. And I think, if you guys remember, I think that was something I made the comment was, is the fact that we didn't have some type of a standard. This is what it had to be up to in order to bid. Because I don't think we have anything in place that says it has to be a certain
state
density.
Standard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all we're going
on. Yeah, state standard, correct.
Basically, rock is judged on the hardness and freeze-thaw cycle. There's a lot of it. These local quarries don't meet state spec anyway, so on any of the state projects.
Terry.
Marin, is that something we should be looking at, is getting specs on all our rock and gravel also? Or
there's specs available, state specs.
I mean, we should samples and have it all tested. I don't know how costly that is. Is that something we should look at?
Yeah.
Maybe every place that we have that bid have a sample.
Doug has a recent test from his quarry, or the site's quarry, and that's why I was going to get this one done
I see.
At the same time. He just did his month or so ago. So.
Kathy, did you have your hand up?
Didn't they bring, when we say Barnston, we're talking about Beekman. So.
Correct.
Didn't he bring in his test results at the time he came in and spoke, and he handed those out saying, you know, I meet the specs?
Correct.
So we can't just go by his test results. We want to have them tested ourselves.
Myron?
Well, I'll talk on that, too, because I agree with Kathy there a little bit. If we're going to test his, then we should be testing sites, too, and Weeping Water. We should be testing all of them, even if they say they meet state standards. We can't choose one and pick out him and say, no, I don't believe data or whatever, and I'm going to go test it, unless his are too old or something, or unless there's something else wrong with that data he's giving us.
I'm going to respond. You're the highway superintendent.
I can't say there's anything wrong with him, but I know, without getting in trouble for saying something, there's a little issue with trust there.
I think maybe it should be something independently done Is that the way that it should be handled, and independent? And I don't know about the cost of that either, but of every place that we go, would that be a better way to handle it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we take it to a lab like HWS.
But I mean collecting the sample.
Right, right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because...
Mr. Chairman?
Matt.
The necessity of this conversation is, you know, we spend over $1 million a year in rock and gravel. And so, you know, we're talking about rock and gravel, but it's a major product that we purchase as a county. It's, you know, 14 to 15% of our tax asking goes to rock and gravel. So it is of utmost importance that we get the best product and the best value for those taxpayers' dollars. So I'm glad we're having this conversation. I mean, it's not a fun conversation to talk about gravel, but it's a necessity because it goes in our infrastructure, which is our roads. And so it's imperative that we have these discussions from time to time.
And we've had the gravel tested, and, you know, like on any of the federal projects, they tell me that the sites and Barnson Rock won't meet specs.
Well, I guess, Marlon, I feel that you told us 2 weeks ago on Road and Bridge you were having it tested. So,
well, and I got a sample that week, and I just haven't got up there yet.
And like Matt says, if this is critical, it's critical. We need to have it done. I want to get back to the topic. Roger tells me the construction crews on 410s, if this board deems it's appropriate by what Marlon says, that the construction crew should be on 410, you can proceed, and we will vote on it in 2 weeks. Is that correct, Roger?
Yeah. I think if basically the consensus and the feedback you're getting from the crews is to do it.
The construction crews should be on 410s. It makes sense. It's cost-effective during the construction season. Do you agree with that, Marlon?
I agree with that, and the mechanics should be on 410s, and also because of the, you just got to have coverage when you got equipment rolling.
Is there anybody on the board with heartburn?
Is there going to be, as far as the mechanics go, is there going to be trucks moving all 5 days of the week?
If we go with 410s for the construction crews, it would make sense to go to 410s with the trucks then, too, because basically everybody but the office should be on 410s then.
Is there any disagreement on the board? Anyone feel strongly?
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Can you just do that? Can that just happen?
Monday? We have to vote on it since we voted.
What? I wouldn't vote on it because you don't have an
issue. Not today.
Oh, okay, yeah, later.
In 2 weeks. We will vote on it in 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
But it can start as soon as...
Well, it's critical. You're in that phase. You only have so many days you can do construction.
I mean, if that's kind of the consensus, I'll put up a sign because I like to let the guys know a couple of weeks ahead of time, you know, and then you can vote on it next meeting. So.
Well, I think what Chairman was talking about was you would do it immediately.
Yeah.
They would ratify it at the next meeting. I mean, it's basically you're just...
Not tomorrow. You can do it Monday. That's soon enough.
I can do it. I mean, that I normally always give them a couple of weeks notice on shift change. But we can try it.
Well, that's what you're having the discussion for. If you think it's going to be a problem, you don't want a bunch of guys down there that are not happy with this thing.
There's probably about three or four guys that won't be happy, but you know, most of them will be.
Mr. Chairman, what if
Matt?
In the interest of days and weeks, what if we just pick a day, May 2nd? Would that give you enough time to let your guys know May 2nd, and then can we put it on our agenda for the 4th?
Yeah.
I mean, does that satisfy the need to let folks know? And
yeah.
I propose that.
Anyone have any disagreements? Okay. Marlon, you want to give an update on your NDOR, the bridge inspection, because it seems like we've had a lot of bridges in the county that have been hit pretty hard by the NDOR.
We got that one major concern south of the new bridge in Barnston, and we went down there and measured all the components again, getting that on a set of documents to take to the engineer, because we don't quite agree with what's on the Pontus site, on the NDOR bridge inspection site. So we're trying to get that one. Right now, the rest of them are pretty well posted. Some of them we could remove the posting. Some of them we had to lower. Our major concern was that one on that main road down there. The bus bridge, we left it posted at 15-ton. We could have raised that one, but, you know, that's kind of a bridge out there. It's a narrow bridge, and it's not on a main road. So, and you can leave them posted lower than what the state rates them out at. We're pretty well done changing signs. And then on that one I was talking about south of the new bridge in Barnston, where we can go back and retrofit it with some drill holes in the deck and weld some anchors on, because that's their problem with, is the deck isn't anchored to the stringers. It's a good bridge. It's got like 3 foot high stringers in it, steel ones, pretty thick, so haul in about any load you'd want to over there. But the way they rate bridges, if it's deck's not connected properly to the stringers, that's an issue for them. So,
you know, I feel it's appropriate that the county invested in the people on the bridge conference and workshop, and you didn't touch on that at Road and Bridge. So what was the bridge conference and workshop all about then?
It was about the first half of the day was about the Pontus program and the computer part of it, updating the computers. Then the second half was, and where I invited you guys to, was basically for bridge owners. That'd be anybody like the county that owns bridges or city owns bridges. And then bridge inspectors, anybody that had anything to do with it. So
how many did we send?
We ended up with 4 out there. And it's all reimbursable by the state and workforce development. The claims have to go through the county, and they reimburse the county for the meals and the rooms. So
were they all inspectors?
No, it was 2 inspectors and Emily and I.
Why was she there for past the point of the Pontus?
Well, you know, when you're entering all the stuff on the computer, you want to, I mean, you can't just, you got to know a little bit about the bridge inspections to know whether, if there's a problem or if there's something. If you key in one of the numbers wrong, it can make a whole difference on the way the bridge is rated. And so the,
that's the way with any data entry, though.
Yeah. But that's what the course was set up for, was anybody that worked with bridges, as far as the computer programs, as far as the inspections, as far as the management. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Matt?
So you caught my eye when you said about we'll get reimbursed. So we're going to hold all those claims until we get all those together, and they'll reimburse rooms, meals. Will they reimburse county mileage and everything? What will they reimburse, and how do we get that, and what's the paperwork we got to fill out to get that money back?
We've already, I don't know if I brought a copy of it along or not. Anyway, yeah, we already sent it in to the state, and it'll come back. When I did that RC update last year, they did that. The county pays the bills, because they can't pay individuals. They pay the local public agency. So we turn them in to the county and then turn the bills into the state, and they reimburse the county. So
can we bundle those all together so it's all at once and it goes, so we're not trickling them in? Because I guess we don't know what all those bills are yet, do we? I mean,
well,
who fills that out? Did the county have to fill that out to make that request?
Yeah. Each individual has to pull one out.
So the county, since if we got the rooms ahead of time, then did we fill one of those out? Who?
I don't think we have the bills for the rooms yet.
No. Okay. So we're going to just wait until we get all that stuff. Okay. Okay. So yeah, get all the costs and all expense and everything if they're going to reimburse us for it.
Gary and then Kathy.
I asked them about mileage and they said they didn't like to do mileage.
What about wages?
Yeah, I don't.
Gary. I'm trying to squeeze a turnip.
I'm misunderstanding that. You said that it's already been sent into the state, Marlon.
Yeah.
We don't have all the claims yet.
You should have.
We don't have the room stuff yet.
Oh, the room stuff, yeah. No, we had bills from the room receipts when we checked out, so we sent that in.
So why'd they go to the state but they haven't gone to the county?
It's direct bill to the county. They'll bill it later. Probably.
I haven't got them yet.
Did you stay somewhere else then? Because yours was submitted, right?
I don't think we've got any room stuff.
I thought we
just
had
wait.
Your room.
Let's
maybe it was P&Z on your room.
That could be.
Finding
it might have been P&Z.
We'll just get on that
Grand
stuff.
Island.
Okay, it was P&Z.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else have anything on the Bridge Conference workshop then?
Oh, just did we, who all, when we sent folks there, did we get some, we got, who all was it? You, Emily, who else?
Galen and Bob Davis, the other two bridge inspectors. One of them had an operation. The other one couldn't leave because of his wife was gone or something.
Curious how many people. Because, yeah, if one of those deals have paper stuff, Kathy said as many as
she dropped her hand. So.
Matt asked mine.
Okay. Gary.
Okay. The only other thing I had, Marlon, was is we had the discussion here 2 or 4 weeks ago about driving out the morning of.
Yeah.
I realize the state's paying for it, but it's still on the taxpayer's dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we choose to spend the night before? Because my calculations, you're leaving at 6 in the morning. You've already been coming in to work at 7 in the morning anyway, so that's only an hour of overtime for one person.
Well, you know, I guess it's pretty early to, you know, then you're always in a hurry, and that's when things happen, but...
If you leave at 6 in the morning, you're going to get to Kearney by 8:15, 8:30. I drove that for 3 years. It's only a 2:15, 2.5 drive. You're up by 6 in the morning, Marlon. I know you are.
Yeah, I'm usually in town by then.
Yeah. I guess I know we didn't make a directive that said you had to do it that way, Marlon, but, I mean... It doesn't, and we're splitting hairs. This is, you know, a small issue, but on the other hand, I mean, I guess that's kind of where we were thinking was that we weren't going to have the extra expenses if we didn't have to. I got up at 5 o'clock two Wednesdays from now ago to go to Kansas City to shovel 60 bushels of corn off of a train, so that's an hour earlier than 6.
Any more discussion on the Bridge Conference workshop?
I know.
Okay. Anything else on Marlon's report? Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
I haven't seen any rock and gravel receipts come across for a while, and I know we're
starting to haul.
Okay, I just didn't.
And I think we're going to make our budget if.
Oh, okay.
You know, I kind of watch.
I just want to make sure we weren't going to get like.
$80,000 all of a sudden.
80 wouldn't be bad. I was thinking more like 240.
No, 22.
That's what I don't want. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So they'll start to trickle in there.
I have one more question. Marlon, how come if you had to go out the night before, how come only two of you went out the night before and the other two went out the next
because
morning?
Because the other two don't work with a computer, with a data entry, with a filing with the state. They just do bridge inspections. When we do bridge inspections, we print out a hard copy and send them out. They do all the inspections and then bring it in back in, and that's...
So, in other words, they didn't need to be there for the start of the meeting the next morning?
They didn't need to be there for the computer part that started it. Well, it started at 9, but we actually took our computer in, got it updated, all the last files put in, because every year all that gets... updated, and all the every county's information gets put in. So, but that's the reason they only stayed one night, because they could leave. They left, I think, 9 in the morning and got there at noon. So,
Gary,
Mr. Chairman, I think we also need to discuss the fact that okay, we're talking 4-10s for the construction. We'd already said the office needed to be open 8 to 5. The office has been open 8 to 5.
Actually 7 to 5, but...
Okay. Who is on staff from 8 to 5 to make sure... Didn't Matt, forgive me, or Rex, either one, wasn't it called for 8 to 5 on the office hour? Isn't that what we did?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what you were asking for, wasn't it, Matt?
That's what I thought, yeah, because all the other offices are 8 o'clock, too.
So are we having full office coverage from 8 to 5, and how are we deciding who comes in and works at 8 and who leaves at 3:30 and that kind of thing?
Well, basically, what we've been doing is Emily comes in at 7 and leaves when the guy's, you know, at 3:30, because she works with a truck driver, she works with a sign techs, and basically the more hands-on with the crews. And then Nancy was coming in at 8 and normally taking an hour lunch. Sometimes she'd come in at 8:30 and take a half-hour lunch. Just kind of depended on her schedule, I guess. So
Nancy was having to adjust her schedule around everybody else then. Is that the way it's been?
I guess that's...
So
it just makes sense to have the one that works with the guys more there when they're there.
So who decided to override what the board voted on? The board voted 8 to 5. I mean, I realize it's a gray area you're entering, but I think if we pulled it, it was pretty clear we wanted people there 8 to 5.
And
the discussion was that you could come in at 7. If you needed to hand something to the truck drivers, you could be the one. I think Denny is the one that brought that up. So I just think that question needs asked.
Well, I mean, you know, my only answer is that it just, you know, for working with, you know, our office in the morning right away is pretty busy with truck drivers coming in wanting tickets, people coming in if they need fuel or calling in for fuel. It's and the office has been open 7 to 5 since then. It just, you know, we switch noon hours, so it stays open, so.
Anyone else have any other questions on that? Okay, what else in your report, Marlon?
That's all I had.
Okay. Stephanie Clark, you're up.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Stephanie Clark. I'm the public defender for Gage County. I have, as usual, I have my handout. At third quarter 2010, coming around first. And then fourth quarter 2010, that also has a yearly case total. And then I'm sure Lainey, my assistant, was really happy yesterday afternoon when I said, well, let's just go ahead and do first quarter 2011, too. So I've got that for you as well. And I think it's helpful to be able to look at the trends. And I'll give a little commentary and then let anyone ask questions. Basically, for the last 7 years or so, I would say things have been pretty consistent overall. We have a high year. Maybe we have a little bit of a lesser year, but things stay pretty steady.
Oh, Matt, going with those resolutions. Sorry.
That's okay. If you look at the new filings for 2011, and for people who are, for the new board members, these are just the new cases that are getting filed. It's not total caseload, because especially with felony cases, they're going to last more than a quarter, and a lot of the juvenile cases will too. But the filings for first quarter 2011 are pretty consistent with what they've been for the last 4 years, 5 years. A little higher than last year, but if you look at 2007 through 2011, you know, low 80s,
all but last year, so pretty consistent. One thing that may relieve our caseload a little bit, as you know, we Jeff Goltz, my assistant, and I do up to 35 open felonies at any time, and we have not been over our cap for some time now. Also, if you notice, the first quarter 2011 filings on the felonies are down quite a bit. So that's too early to say it's a trend, but definitely that would reduce our caseload a little bit. Now, you'll notice in the misdemeanor category, those are up quite a bit. But as a general rule, the misdemeanors take less time than the felonies do, manpower-wise. So juveniles are exactly the same. So this gives you an idea of what the trend has been the last half of 2010, the total for 2010, and then where we seem to be going in 2011, although I think one quarter is too early to say that I expect it to be about what it's been the last 4 or 5 years by the end of the year. So it stays pretty consistent. And I guess if anyone has questions for me, try to answer them.
Yeah. Number one or number two misdemeanors, what are those? What, like people fighting speeding tickets?
Oh, no. You don't actually get an attorney at public expense unless there's a jail sentence possible in your case. A lot of DUIs. We see quite a few assaults, domestic assaults, flight to avoid arrest, those kinds of things. Crimes that you can't get more than a year in prison for, but are serious enough that you might get a jail sentence. So, no, we don't. Unless somebody got speeding along with their other offenses, the county doesn't pay for us to do speeding cases. They have to hire their own attorney or represent themselves.
These all go through Gage County Court then, or some of them go through district? Or?
Some of them, the juvenile cases and almost all of the misdemeanor cases would be handled through county court. District court, where they're expecting me shortly. Actually, they were expecting me a little while ago, but I think they're still moving along, so things are okay. District court is where we do the felonies, and sometimes there'll be a case that gets bound over as a felony and gets back down to a misdemeanor. But I would say probably three-fourths of the cases we do are in county court. The other quarter, the more serious ones, the stabbings, the serious assaults, rapes, those kinds of things, those are in district court. Drug cases, district court.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, need a motion to put on file.
Moved
by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Yes.
And then I would just remind you, our contract is up on June 30th this year. So I know in the past there's been a committee appointed. We provided a proposed contract to Mr. Harris, to the committee, and I think...
Who is the committee again?
Jim Nelson, Jamie Renshaw, Ryan Reese, I think, maybe. But we would have, if the board wants to maybe think about their asking for proposals, because we're looking at about 2.5 months, and I know a few years ago we kind of got
probably
down
time.
To the end. So yeah. Just wanted to remind you and mention that.
Do you handle that, Roger?
Basically, the committee makes a recommendation, which comes to me, and then we bring it to the board. So basically you have a review.
To submit for proposals, so the committee does that?
Yeah.
Okay. And do we contact the committee then? Do you or does Dawn? Or
I think we just send them a letter.
Okay.
And remind them. Sometimes like
I think
Ryan's
Jim takes. I mean, I think if you contact Jim Nelson, he'll get everybody else together and take charge of it.
Okay.
You might want to check, you know, particularly with Ryan, since he's, you know, more in private practice now, not doing criminal work.
Okay.
And that's just a thought. I don't know. Maybe you still be willing to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane, you're up.
Jane Ford Widoff, Public Health Solutions, promoting and protecting the health of citizens in our district. I have copies of our annual report and our behavioral risk factor survey for Gage County. I'm just going to give them to the clerk so you could distribute. I don't necessarily want to talk to them. I was going to say, speaking of court, once a month the retired judges get together, and I happen to know because I got one that I'm married to. But anyway, they're getting together today, actually, in Beatrice. Judge Reist is going to post them down at the Black Crow, and he's going to give them a tour of the courthouse. So I thought that was really very nice, because I think the courthouse looks really nice.
Good.
I wanted to just bring up some issues that are of concern to me, and then issues that we think will be of concern in the coming year, and then I wanted to know what might be of concern to you. One of the things I mentioned last time is space. You know, our offices, our main offices are in Crete, and we feel very strongly, I feel very strongly, that we need to have our staff out in the counties as much as possible. So we do have a location for, an interim location for our staff in each of the counties except for Gage. And I was hoping that we would have a more permanent location in Gage. We have looked at various options but don't have anything settled, and would really like your consideration of providing some space for us that we could use, you know, at least a couple days a week. I think that it's only when you're here, particularly when this is the largest town that we have, only when you're here that we can do the best job of really understanding what you need and responding to what you need. I mean, there's no question that we already serve Gage County, but I don't believe that it's I believe it's really a presence here. I very strongly believe that. So I would really like you to consider that. I know you're tight on space.
We have talked about the driver's license rotating mm-hmm. when they're there, because that's a couple days a week they're there. So, I mean, there might be an opportunity. Otherwise, BSDC.
Yeah, we've looked at some of those locations, and they're pretty pricey. But we, we'll continue to look at those. But if we could use the driver's license area, I guess I would be pleased with that on an interim basis, at least.
Yes, a lot needs to be worked out with them. And
should I contact
them? I would work with Danny on building and grounds.
Okay. Just some of the other projects that we have. You know, we had the major Safe Routes project for the Beatrice schools this year, and we have one of those counters that was supposed to be able to count. They called a voltage unit. It was supposed to be able to count how many kids walked and biked to school, and it petered out on them mid-December. So it really really took a bite out of that program. But we are going to continue it next year, because we have the company indicated that they would provide it free of charge, the operation of the unit. So I'm hoping we can salvage that. Remember, we do have an AED program where we've been distributing AED devices, and the last one is going to go to Odell because they have a new truck, and we're going to be placing one there. I just thought I would mention it because I think there's a meeting tonight. Some of the other issues, we're hoping to get a new AED grant, and of course I don't know how the federal financing will work out, but with the new AED grant, our AED program, we would be able to place more devices. And then also what we're hoping to do is to be able to connect location of those devices to through GIS to the 911 centers. So there'll be more information available to those that are calling in about the potential location of those devices to be used to reduce cardiac death. We are having a lot of problems with, or increasing problems with, access to care, access to health care. And, of course, I don't know what you see here from your perspective, you know, when you look at your general assistance or whatever. But I know it has been really pretty tough, you know, finding care and, you know, getting the having health care providers contribute the care that's needed to take care of people that have no means of payment. And, you know, we have to understand when things are cut elsewhere, those people either go unserved, but most likely they're being served in the communities by health care providers through their own goodwill. So that is at a cost. Another thing I want to mention is that, our media did a nice job with the thumb bands, but you know, we had an idea that came out of Adams, the use of these thumb bands to remind teens not to text and drive. And I brought a whole bunch for you because I know you're going to want them for all your thumbs.
Would you give one to Matt?
Yes, I think he needs 7 or 8 of them.
Why don't you give me 2?
You know, and some of the commissioners will joke because, you know, they are kind of tight. And so, you know, sometimes your blood collects there. But we're going to try to get them in better sizes next time. But these are going like hotcakes. I wouldn't have expected it. But so I want you to just take whatever you choose.
Oh, great.
If you have teens, it does make a difference. Let's see. Some of the other issues that I know are of concern are unintentional injuries are still a big issue for our district and still a big issue for Gage County. Also, Gage County has a lot of hidden poverty, and so health care needs are going to continue to be a big issue. Lead poisoning is still a big issue because we're unable to get money for rehabilitation of homes. And teen pregnancy is a big issue. It's you're one of three counties that's been identified as in greater need of services than others, and that's by the state. They said that Gage, Saline, and Jefferson are the counties of highest need. We're going to be engaging in a pretty significant planning effort this coming year. Because we have to periodically to make sure we're doing what is really needed, but we're also going to be lending a hand to the hospitals that now have to do a community health plan. Last time I was here, I mentioned the meningitis cases we had at Tri-County, and of course that was kind of a tough situation. But just so you know that. You know, those kinds of, even the child that recovered has some problems, residual problems associated with meningitis. Just reminds us that it's very serious illness. But communicable diseases are something that we take care of. We want to control, but it's not a major part of what we do, except when it's really needed, and then it becomes everything. But just to give you an idea, we have a suspect measles case, which I don't get real excited about, but it's only suspect, so we may have measles within the district. And then we also are starting direct observation therapy for a TB case in a neighboring county. So these kinds of things are around, but, you know, not of epidemic proportion, just something that needs to be controlled. I do want to know if there are particular issues of concern to you. We don't know how the budget is going to come out, you know, and what the impacts will be because I don't quite understand what all the reductions will be at the federal and the state levels. But if there are issues on your mind, I would like to know because we're going to have to reconsider what we do and make sure that with whatever money we have, that we're attending to priorities. And so I wanted to know if there are any issues on your mind. Yes.
Rex?
Yes.
Where does your funding all come from? All from counties or state or federal? Or?
No. Our base funding comes from tobacco settlement dollars, the interest from the tobacco settlement fund, which comes through the state. It's that, you know, that big glob of money. And so that's about $350,000. And then the rest are in grants and contracts. And so we expand and contract depending on upon the availability of those. And presently we do not get much money from the... We have a couple counties that have contributed, but the board has not yet formally asked the counties to contribute. Although they'd be, I'm sure they'd be happy with it. But that's how it is. You know, we...
Just,
you know.
I just might elaborate on that, Myron. When the tobacco companies were sued for the health care costs that they'd caused all the way through the country, and as part of their settlement with the states, they agreed to give X number of dollars to each one of the states, and then it was up to the states to decide how they wanted to spend those dollars. Nebraska was one of the few states that actually said, hey, listen, this is about health care. This is a risk to people. These are people who are damaged with cancer, the results. And so we put it into a cash fund, tobacco settlement fund, and then allocated it to health care in various forms. Some states who have regretted it said, oh, well, we need money for some bridges and for this and that, and they put them there, and they don't have any money for public health. So this is how this was established.
And it's real important, and, you know, we're certainly not flush with money, but you know, in my mind, we don't have enough, but, again, we do with what we have and try to address those priorities. But I don't know if there are any other issues. I know in some other counties they've been concerned about what's going to happen with recycling. That's not something that we've been involved in a big way. We have been with batteries and some other things, but we've, you know, we're very careful not to duplicate. I don't know if there's any issues that are of concern to you. Or as they are, please let us know.
Okay. Any other questions? Terry.
Yeah. Just in discussion here, Senator Brenda Council in a bill about screening for lead for preschool children. Do you know where that's at?
Well, last I heard is that it had moved along, and I was really kind of surprised that she announced that I supported it when I didn't. But, I mean, we support lead lead testing and whatever, but, you know, it's a little bit more involved with that. But as I understand it, there's a good chance that it would move along. And if that's the case, you know, you're fortunate that we have... a lot of expertise in that area and have done a lot of work in preparing for and trying to deal with that kind of problem. So we're hoping that it would minimize any impact, there would be any negative impact. But I think it's important. It's unfortunate that, you know, a lot of times damage is done before you get to school. And so what's important to us is that the lead testing be done with for high-risk children all throughout their formative years. And what you want to see is whether it's going up or down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have a story on one child that had a lead level of 28, and that child had a younger sibling. And when we saw the child, he was in his third home placement. And he was not moved around because of lead levels, but it just so happened that his home had lead in it, with his parents. Then he was moved to a foster home that happened to have lead in it. And then he was moved for whatever reason, and of course it was all unrelated to lead, to the grandparents' home, and that had lead in it. So it's not something that's ever present on people's minds, but has to be dealt with if the child is under threat, and of course that child would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes sometimes retardation, violence, things like that.
I might just add to that also, there's another group of people that we haven't paid as much attention to, and that's those people that are retired who are in a situation where because of dementia, because of other issues, they aren't paying any attention to what kind of paint and whatever they have in their homes. They've lived there for years and years, and nobody is really monitoring how that can affect them. And Public Health Solutions is working with part of a grant that we've worked on with our contractors all the way through the area that we serve, and now there's some money in that grant that might be used with retirees. So I just wanted to throw that also.
I'm glad you mentioned elders. I'm going to talk about their teeth. You know, we are starting an oral health prevention program for the Head Start kids to do fluoride applications to reduce decay. But we've also become aware of, the board has, that that dental problems are a big issue for older people in our district. And it's largely just invisible. Dental care is probably the first thing to go long before any money was ever considered to be withdrawn for medications. You know, often there isn't even a thought about dental care, and it's very hard to provide in nursing homes. It's a very difficult service, and so we're looking at ways to work with work within the system to see to it that some preventative services are done to reduce the problems there, because that's the gateway to a person's health, is their teeth, the health of their teeth.
Okay. Any more questions? Kathy.
I don't want to be greedy, but can I have more of them?
Oh, sure, you can have more.
I've just thought of all kinds of homes for them.
Need a motion to place on file the report.
So moved.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion, vote. 7-0. Thanks, Jane. Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $20,000 from the general fund to the insurance fund for operation of the fund.
Motion to approve.
Seven. Moved by Bauman.
1122.
Resolution 11-22. Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove accepting check from Animal Legal Defense Fund in the amount of $2,000.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
In accepting this, are we obligated? What would be any obligation, and what is the purpose of the Animal Legal Defense Fund giving us a check for $2,000?
Basically, what it is, most of you know, we've got a case coming up, starts jury trial tomorrow. And Mr. Schreiner's been working on this case. I think it originated sometime last fall. And basically, Rick's going to be preparing that. And he's been in consult with other people as far as expert witnesses and preparing for this trial. One of the individuals he spoke with says we have a fund that we'd like to make a contribution to this. Basically, happy that the sheriff's office and the county attorney's office chose to go after this situation involving all these dogs. And so they, you know, sent a check for $2,000. And I didn't know exactly how to do that, so I said, I'll bring it up here and give it to you so you know we didn't keep it and put it in our fund.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that we have a fund, but.
Any more discussion?
Just FYI. Information I got from the sheriff a couple weeks ago, we are quickly approaching $50,000 taking care of these dogs. As evidence is the way I believe they're termed. So $50,000. Close to it.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, just to comment on that, we've worked with the Department of Agriculture, who has a fund available. They have not made that available to us. And I think as the county attorneys across the state have looked at what's happening to Gage County, there's going to be some hesitancy to jump on a wagon like this just because of the way budgets are. And certainly we want to bring justice to individuals that we feel are breaking the law. But when it's going to cost you $50,000 to take care of those dogs. And the other thing that's very disconcerting in this case is that basically they were the smaller animals, younger, and well able to be adopted out when this matter started. We're now down the road several months, and we all know puppies are cute. Everybody take a puppy home. It makes it a little harder when they're adults. So lessons learned.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Committee reports.
Rick?
Terry.
Okay. Marlon basically covered everything, you know, at Road and Bridge. The one main thing is that Beatrice North project is ready to be signed. It might be moved up, I think he mentioned, 1st of June, possibly getting starting on that. Something we've talked in Road and Bridge and other times about possibly the completion you know, are adding to that road. I think it's something that we want to look at, probably. That's one of the high-maintenance roads in Gage County. I know we're looking at a lot of dollars, but somewhere down the road we're going to have to address it, I think, so it's just something we want to keep in mind, I think. Basically, I think Marlin's covered everything else we talked about. The only other thing I had was I had attended two Boswell meetings. You probably heard, but we went ahead and we were going to go ahead with that C&D or construction and demolition site south of the existing dump site. And they approved the bonds at the final meeting then. They'll be issued about $1.5 million worth of bonds will be issued for payment or construction. Final phase in the north landfill and the construction of the C&D one in the south. Those bonds are issued. It was just interesting to me. It'd be a 16-year duration, and the average interest rate on those bonds is 3.85% during that 16-year time frame. So it's a lot of money, but it's still probably reasonable, and it's something we have to do, I think.
And we have to do.
Yeah.
You're right.
So that's all I have.
Any other committee reports?
Yeah, we had the law enforcement one on guest updates. I think most of you got an email on the garage door that over at the sheriff's office, the one they take the prisoners in on. He updated us a little bit on the sponsoring. We're the sponsoring agent for the said investigator, and that the way it looks right now is that it's still that will be no cost to the county. That all be picked up. Last Thursday, then we had another Five Rivers RC&D meeting over in Tecumseh, and I haven't heard yet, but as of last Friday night, the federal funding for that was not in the extension or whatever. So Tammy Timms over there, like I said, I haven't heard this week yet, but supposedly her part was federal funded, and that part was no longer in effect as of last Friday night. But they were all waiting yet for information down from the federal to what exactly how do they close it or what do they do, or they didn't know either. They had no direction on that, but they're visiting with all the other ones around the state and trying to decide, and the executive board's trying to decide how to keep going and carrying it on and all of that. So
okay,
on building grounds, we didn't meet this week. We didn't have anything pressing that took board action. We will be meeting in 2 weeks. Myron has been working, as we know, with individuals relative to how we better let the public know about our board meetings, whether it be in videos and how we do that. And he's going to have a report for the Building Grounds Committee in 2 weeks. We will be meeting 2 weeks from this past Monday. We'll come together at 10 o'clock, and then we'll have a conference call with one of the people he's working with at 10:15. The lawn still there. We made some telephone type approvals to move ahead on some things with our highway department because the city came in, made an inspection, said we're going to have to do some extensive work here on the west side, like dropping the lawn 30 inches and maybe building a retaining wall. And we, Matt and I talked, and we can't afford that at this point, so let's go ahead and get seated and work ahead in that direction. I know we have had a plan on where those sidewalks are supposed to go and what they're supposed to look like, but our surveyor has been in charge of that along with Dave Jones, and I'll talk to them, and we'll bring that back too just as soon as we have to. So.
Yeah, we did have plans on that. I saw them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we all saw them. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I think we all did, and they were all approved. There wasn't any problem with them.
I think they're all approved. Any other committee reports?
Finance Committee met. We mainly just covered the claims for the week. There was a little discussion, like Matt brought up during the meeting, about the fact that we hadn't seen any rock or gravel expenses in a little bit of time. Other than that, there really wasn't anything else covered.
Okay. I have a question for Danny. I've been monitoring the Blue Valley Community Action. Do they ever rotate their meetings closer? Or are you always going to Geneva and York?
No, next meeting will be in Wilbur. I made a complaint. This has been kind of a contention between the chair and myself because I think it's just terrible. Like, the meeting last night was in York. By the time you get through with the meeting, it'll be 11 to midnight before the board members get home. I have never served on a board where this has been that situation. I, because of some health issues, did not go to the meeting last night. But it's ridiculous. I'm going to place it on the amendment to try to change the time on those meetings. It doesn't make any sense. And it basically has been built to accommodate maybe one member who is, excuse me, he's in agriculture, he feeds his livestock, and he wants it late rather than early. And so it's been able to...
See, I feel that way on SEND. At 7 o'clock meeting in Lincoln, I don't want to get out of the meeting at 11 o'clock and then get home at midnight.
That's right. I think it can be better planned, and you know, we have a lot of low-income people that sit on that board, too, and that are coming back and forth. We have staff who aren't going to get home until 11, 12 o'clock at night. Now, there are times we meet in Fairbury, times we meet in Seward, times we meet in Wilbur, times we're over in Geneva. But, I mean, look at all of those. I mean, somebody is going to have to travel. And I'm very concerned about that, and it will be an item on the agenda for our next meeting.
I just wanted to ask about that.
I'm glad you did.
Something else, Doug. We talked to the sheriff a little bit in the press, and Luke heard it, I think. I have some real concerns with BSDC sending Gus a letter that the security is eliminated. Terry Wagner, Lancaster County Sheriff, is making a stance with the state on addressing state parks. There's no longer game wardens available. When Gus talks about two officers spending 4 hours to talk down one individual at the BSDC, we've just eliminated our law enforcement across the county. I think we as a body, under direction of the sheriff, need to address this with the state that's unacceptable. They can choose to reduce their budgets at the expense of citizens of Gage County or citizens of the state. I don't find that appropriate. It's a Beatrice State Developmental Center. It's been there for how long? Security has been provided by them for how long? And now they're turning it over to Gage County on our limited resources also.
Well, I think they put a huge burden, not on our office, but you know everybody else that's in the county. If they expect us to be able to cover all their calls for service on a state facility, in the past, historically, what we've done is...
Sir, Madam Clerk says to the podium.
We have, historically, we've taken accidents, minor thefts, things like that. Anything beyond that, you know, they've had to assign an investigator or trooper to take care of. I think our opinion is to be very blunt, is if it's a state facility, then the state patrol can handle those calls for service out there. If it's an emergent situation, you know, they're within our confines of the county, and we certainly don't want to jeopardize somebody's safety or life. If it's a property issue, it can wait. If it's something emergent, you know, we can certainly respond, get the situation to a point to where it's controlled, and wait for somebody to take care of that.
I think you said it there. If it's an emergency and life is threatened, we address it instantly like we would on anything. But certain things...
We didn't have any notice even from the CEO or anybody of the facility that was going to occur. And one of the security guys that was being let go is the one that I think let the sheriff know that this was going to be occurring just as a courtesy and that things might be occurring out there. So, you know, we've had a pretty good relationship with the CEO out there in the past and stuff, and the allowed use of their facility for our war room and investigators area out there. And, you know, we want to maintain a good working relationship with them, but we don't want to become a burden to where, you know, it taxes our resources beyond our capability.
I got a question. We never want to compromise the safety of the citizens that work at the BSDC. Is that where their security lies? What are you called for primarily?
We haven't been called there for a lot for anything recently. Most of the stuff, you know, that we would have been called for was that they had a client that was out of control. And, you know, if a trooper is in Lincoln or Geneva, you know, Hebron, that's where they would come from to respond to that situation. So they would call us because they couldn't afford to wait that long.
Is that not the same instance where Omaha, I think, took the stance of we don't have time for this, we're going to tase them and put them down when they had some relocated there? I didn't. That was, yeah, seriously.
we cross a lot of lines when we start acting in the capacity of staff or security in law enforcement capacity as well.
If I acted that way, what would you do? You would tase me and put me down, correct?
We would restrain you with the least amount of force necessary to control the situation.
So, that's pretty easy.
Is it a client staffing issue, is it a security issue, or is it a law enforcement issue? I think you have three separate things there, and sometimes they get crossed.
They get blurred.
Yep.
Well, it's just something I think we need to be aware of, that the buck is being passed, and we're probably going to absorb some of it.
It wouldn't be the first time that there are state-mandated things that we are responsible for taking care of with no funding or resources to...
Or recourse to correct it.
So, I mean, we don't have to do anything. I mean, but when it comes to situations, you know, they're life-threatening, I think we have an obligation to do something to mitigate.
We would expect you to on that, just like you always do, so...
Well, I think it's important to understand, too, that you have specific training for learning how to understand and how to deal with situations with individuals with developmental disabilities.
Very good point.
And many of those who are dual diagnosed with mental health as well as developmental disabilities, it takes training to be able to understand how to deal with them. The Sheriff's Department isn't, their deputies don't have specific training for those situations. So I think it places them somewhat in jeopardy. So I definitely think we need to communicate with them our concern.
I think part of the problem is nothing against BSEC, because I think they've been put in a bad situation because of placement for clients. They have clients that came from the regional center that are placed there because they don't know where else to go with them. Well, that doesn't mean that it's the right place for them. Some of these were violent offenders that they put into an institution, you know, that has now become a staffing nightmare for them.
See, that's where I find it irresponsible of the state, when they're putting violent people into that environment and they eliminate their security, knowing the risks that are involved. And that's why I don't feel the citizens that work there should ever be, we should never tell them no. We need to be sensitive and understand that there's things that we can't respond to, but...
Well, taking away the security is absolutely correct. The program that was built to bring those people who had dual diagnosis, like I just discussed, meant specific staffing on the individuals who were responsible for the care of those individuals. There was a separate unit, totally separate, dealing with those individuals. They were separate from the other rest of the population at BSDC, trained to do so, and even to the point of bringing people from state programs around the state, from other programs, in to be trained also on how to deal with and work with those individuals. So it was a program that was set up and funded specifically to deal with them, and there wasn't any risk involved with the other individuals or the staff. And many times we just aren't very good at telling people what we're doing. Now, as we've seen budgets cut and let's save money and any way possible, there are some people in the executive branch who don't necessarily understand how this all works, and even those who do, who have a tendency to just look the other way. And so I just want you to understand what it is. We have a separate program that we've set up at Hastings, out at the Regional Center for Really Violent Individuals. There's a program there for individuals who've committed serious offenses to be put out there that have disabilities. So programs are built. It's a matter of the executive branch telling the people here and how they conduct the program. So I just want to make sure we all understand. Program was built appropriately.
Okay. Anything else on that? Thank you. Is there a need for an executive session on personnel?
I make a motion to go to executive session, discuss our closed session rather to discuss personnel.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Any discussion?
The reason is just to protect the employee in public interest.
Protect the employee in public interest. Okay. Vote 7-0. Thank you.
and I'm sorry, but I knew
that's why,
it.
That's why you're wiser.
That's right. Maturity.
Out of executive session, 1058, voted, or motion by Lytle, seconded by Dorn, 7-0 vote to come out of executive session. Board of Supervisors adjourned at 1058. Tape wasn't on.